I forgot to tell you earlier that I'm not a pastor of this church. So our pastor, he is attending a conference in the United States this week. So normally you will hear a better sermon, but not a better gospel. He cannot preach a better gospel than I can. We preach the same gospel. Okay, so in the previous four Sundays, Pastor Sharon preached on the vision of our church. Behold, belong, and be sent. What do they have in common? Yes, they all start with the word be. What else do they have in common? Well, as members of this church, we know that all these three are centered on Jesus. Behold, we want to know Jesus. Be sent, belong, we want to belong to Jesus and his church, which is his body. Be sent, we want to be sent by Jesus and for Jesus to preach the gospel of Jesus to the world and to build up the kingdom of Jesus. So today, we are starting a series of sermons on who is Jesus. There are many well-known passages that concentrate on Jesus, such as Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7, Isaiah 53, Galatians 3, 8 to 18, Philippians 2, 5 to 11, Colossians 1, 15 to 23, and the book of Hebrews. Well, I can't really list specific passages in the book of Hebrews talking about Jesus, because I think the whole book of Hebrews talks about Jesus. Personally, I will name the book of Hebrews as the book of Jesus. So I'm going to start this series of sermons, Who is Jesus, with the book of Hebrews. Let's first pray that God will be speaking through me and speaking directly to your hearts. Oh Lord, we want to know you. We want to behold you. But we need you to help us to know you, to know you deep from our hearts, not just knowledge staying in our heads. Oh Lord, please speak directly into our hearts. Amen. So the title of today's sermon is The Many Titles of Jesus. How many titles of Jesus do you know? Here I have a list. Christ, the Anointed One, the King, the Messiah, the Savior, Emmanuel, the Lord, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Creator of all things, the Sustainer of all things, the Firstborn over all creation, the Heir of all things, the High Priest, the Lamb of God, the Prophets, the Apostle, the Head of the Church. There are many more we can list here, but we can't do that today. Instead, we are just going to focus on what the first three verses of Hebrews tell us about the titles of Jesus and understand what they mean to us. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets and many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. This verse tells us that Jesus is the Son of God, and God has spoken by him, and so Jesus is also a prophet, whom he appointed heir of all things. So Jesus is also the heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. This verse implies that Jesus is also the creator of all things. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. This verse actually means that Jesus is in fact God, sustaining all things by his power. So he is the sustainer of all things. After he had provided purification for our sins, as we know that this purification for sins involved the sacrifice of atonement. So Jesus is not only the lamb to be sacrificed, but he is also the high priest who offer the sacrifice, and he is also our savior. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, and so he is the king of God's kingdom. Pretty amazing, isn't it? In just three verses, we can list so many titles of Jesus. And you can actually find many more titles of Jesus in just the first two chapters of Hebrews. That's why the book of Hebrews is actually the book of Jesus. But let's first focus on the first three verses of this book today. We can divide them into three parts. Jesus is the prophet, Jesus is God, and Jesus is the Savior. We want to know, as a prophet, actually the prophet, what Jesus has spoken to us, or what God has spoken to us by Jesus, the prophet, and how is it related to Jesus' divinity highlighted in verses 2 to 3, and how this may help us understand deeper the gospel stated in verse 3. Let's start from verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. God sent many prophets to the people of Israel in the past: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the authors of the 12 books of the minor prophets, and many others recorded in the Old Testament. These prophets all share one thing in common. What is it? That they all were wearing camel's hair and a leather belt, and they all ate locusts and wild honey? No. But that they all spoke about one person. And the name of this person is? Yes, Jesus. Everyone knows that. It's obvious, isn't it? But wait, I searched all the minor prophet books and also the major prophets and Samuel and Kings and Chronicles and the five books of Moses. In fact, the whole Old Testament, I couldn't find the name Jesus anywhere. So I guess it's not that obvious. In fact, I even think it's almost like a riddle, like the one in Judges 14. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. So to those of you who have read Judges 14, I'm sure you know very clearly what the answer is. But if you haven't read this book, then I don't think it's easy to guess the answer. Actually, I don't think you can guess the answer at all. But still, there is something obvious. There are obvious clues. As from the riddle, out of the strong, something sweet, we know that there is something strong and something sweet. Similarly, in the book of the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets to the Israelites that the Messiah was to come from the line of David, and who will save the Israelites. This message was clear to the people of Israel because God spoke about it many times and in various ways. In fact, if the Israelites would think logically, it will be clear to them that the promise given to Abraham, through your seed, all nations on earth will be blessed, was to be fulfilled through one seed and not seeds. And one single descendant, not many descendants. That is through the coming Messiah alone. And the law was given to the Israelites so that they might become conscious of their sin, so that they will realize the only solution is to put their faith in God instead of in their own ability to keep the law. And the animal sacrifices they offered repetitively year after year could not clear their sins, but only serve as reminders of their sins. And therefore, this Levitical sacrificial system points to one ultimate, once-for-all sacrifice that is to be offered. I think these points are clear to most of you. Well, I think at least they are clear to the Bereans group. I think they are clear. So if you don't feel they are clear to you, then join the Bereans Bible study group at 1:30 every Sunday. You can actually start today. But the Israelites miss all these points. They miss them miserably, even after God has spoken to them many times and in various ways. And the consequences were also miserable. Their country was destroyed, and their people were exiled. But how could they have missed it? Because they didn't join the Bereans Bible study group? I'm just joking. But actually, I'm serious. Those in the Bereans group understand the message, simply because they have studied the book of Hebrews and the book of Galatians. Both books talk clearly about the promise given to Abraham was fulfilled in Jesus. The law was given as a schoolmaster leading us to Jesus. And the only effective sacrifice that can appease the wrath of God is Jesus himself. And most important of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached Sunday after Sunday at CBIBC and studied in the group week after week. Let me say it clearly again. The Israelites missed God's message about his son because they did not have the New Testament. And today, you understand that God spoke about Jesus in the Old Testament because you have the New Testament in your hands. And it's more than that. But you also have been taught about Jesus by the Holy Spirit outpoured on you. So you have no excuse. When God spoke to the Israelites in the past through the prophets, although he spoke to them many times in various ways, he spoke them like in riddles. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. But they did not see the picture, what is the strong and what is the sweet. But if they have seen the picture, they would know that the strong was the lion and the sweet was the honey. But you who understand and see today are different because God has spoken to you directly by his son. What has God spoken to us by his son? Everything in the New Testament. The four books of the gospel speak to us about the incarnation of Jesus. That is, God became man. And the life and ministry of Jesus, which includes his preaching about the kingdom of God, His compassion and love to the people, his miracles, his humble submission and obedience, his servanthood examples, and his sufferings, his death on the cross, his resurrection and revelation to his disciples, and his ascension with his promise to send his Holy Spirit to be with us, and his going back to heaven to prepare room for us, and to return one day to take us with him. We can continue for a whole day if we are going to list the details of what God has spoken to us by his son. But let's focus on today's text, Hebrews 1. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. First of all, this verse tells us that the son is the heir of all things. What are all things? All things are everything you can touch, feel, see, smell, and can even think of. Yes, your thoughts and your ideas are things that belong to Jesus. And he owns heaven, earth, and hell. Philippians 2:10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and under the earth, yes, Jesus is also the owner of hell, not Satan. Satan is only a prisoner in hell. In fact, Colossians 1:16-17 tells us that by Jesus all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers and authorities, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Hebrews 1:2 also tells us that through the Son, God made the universe. In short, Jesus created everything, and everything was created but for him and through him. Jesus is the owner of all things. Hebrews 1:3 continues, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The word, you know, that sentence, sustaining all things by his powerful word, may be a little bit harder to understand. I actually find that Colossians 1:17, in him all things hold together, is easier to understand. But they are actually talking about the same things. So that means the stars in the galaxy and the galaxies in the universe, they are all held together by certain physical laws such as universal gravitational force, and atoms are held together by chemical bonds and to form molecules, and molecules are held together to form bigger things such as chair, books, and also our bodies. Now suppose that the chemical bonds suddenly lose their effects and the universal gravitational forces are gone, then basically everything will immediately collapse. So Jesus sustains all things so that they continue to exist and behave in the way that they are created to be. But verse 3 also tells us, it actually emphasizes another very important, probably the most important aspect of God, God's glory. God does everything for his own glory. And verse 3 says that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. We often perceive God's glory as light that's shining so brightly that no one can open their eyes and see. Revelation 21:11 describes the holy city of God will be shining with the glory of God. In fact, God's glory is so bright that Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:16 that God lives in unapproachable light whom no one has seen and can see. But what is the radiance of God's glory? I think it simply means a full display of God's glory, or the brightest of the display of God's glory, the brightest of the unapproachable light. And Jesus is the exact representation of God's being, meaning that he is all God is, God's holiness, God's justice, God's faithfulness, God's goodness, God's mercifulness, God's graciousness, God's unchanging love, God's unfathomable wisdom, God's omnipotence, God's omniscience, God's omnipresence, God's self-existence, God's self-sufficiency, God's immutability are all found exactly, nothing less, nothing more, in Jesus. Okay, now James, you have told us many things about Jesus, that he is the creator of all things, and he is the sustainer of all things, and he is the full display of God's glory, and he is all who God is. But what are all these to do with us? Well, number one, he created us. Number two, he owns us and everything we have. And number three, he died for us. Our creator and our owner died for us. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. This is the gospel message. Jesus died for our sins so that we are purified and will be raised with him and seated with him in heaven one day. I'm sure we have all heard this message many times. But do we really know what this means? The point here is, your creator and your owner and died for you, not because of anything small or great that you have done for him, but he died for your sins. Can we imagine what it is like for the creator and owner and sustainer of the universe, the one who has all God's fullness and glory, to die for unfaithful and worthless sinners like us? I think we need to put Hebrews 1 verses 2 to 3 side by side with Philippians 2 verses 6 to 8 in order to appreciate what Jesus has done for us. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. still difficult for you to understand how much Jesus has done for you? Well, actually, you can experience a bit of this by yourselves. Just go and give everything you have now. All your money, your house, your car, your clothes, and everything else you enjoy to someone you hate most. Or just give them to the worst criminals in the city. But that's still not enough. You also need to leave your family, give up your health, and become weak all the time, and eat the worst food you can ever imagine. And then, after all this, you also need to wash every public toilet in the dirtiest places on earth. Never get a rest, never get any payment, but get beaten all the time. Can you imagine to live like that? Now, if you can, then make it a million times worse, a trillion times worse. That's what Jesus did. That's how it's like for the creator and owner and sustainer of all things and the one who has all God's fullness and glory to become a human and die on the cross for sinners. Do you know how it's like to die on the cross? Well, actually, you can also experience a bit of this by yourself. Just take a needle. Well, we have kids here, so let's skip this part. But the pain is not the worst part of the crucifixion, actually. The humiliation is much worse. Do you know the one to be crucified was to be nailed on the cross, naked, and displayed in front of the public? Today, we will forbid such an act as this is inhumane to even the worst criminals or even an animal. And I must remind you again, the one who was nailed naked on the cross is the creator, owner, and sustainer of all things. He gave up all the glory of God. He committed no sin, but died for our sins. And he conquered death for us, rose again, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So Jesus is and will be reigning as the King of heaven and earth and of the under earth. Now some of you may say, yeah, we all know this, that Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But do you also notice something strange here? Philippians. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. This verse implies that Jesus was made king. But wasn't Jesus the king of the universe from the beginning? So the king was made king. And if you take a closer look at Hebrews 1, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Wait a minute. We just said Jesus is the creator and owner of all things. Why was he appointed heir of the things that he created and that he that was his from the beginning? Isn't this strange? This is all for us. Jesus was appointed heir of all things so that in him we might become co-heirs with him. And Jesus was made king so that in him we might co-reign with him in his kingdom. Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Jesus, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Romans 8:17. We are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Romans 5:17. How much will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gifts of righteousness reign in life through Jesus Christ? Revelation 22:5, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. In fact, it's more than that. Romans 9:23 says, God prepared us in advance for glory, and Romans 8:17 says, we will share in the glory of Christ. These are all made possible because Jesus was made king, and he was appointed heir of God's kingdom. Only in Jesus and through Jesus that we also become kings and heirs of God's kingdom. And because Jesus is also the creator and owner of all things, we can rest assured that our inheritance is secure and all God's promises to us will be fulfilled. Finally, the application of today's sermon. Meditate on Hebrews 1 verse 1 to 3. We often focus too much on applications, and we forget that of all applications, knowing God and knowing Jesus is actually the most important application. So let's not forget that. So today's application is just to go through Hebrews, the first three verses again, and know who Jesus is through his many titles. I could give you a clear summary about today's sermon here, but I don't feel I should do so because I don't want you to live on a summary, but I will want you to go deeper and study Hebrews 1 by yourselves and really come to know Jesus much deeper. And I'm sure after you have done so, all kinds of application will automatically come to your mind. Now, if you still want more applications, then come next Sunday. The whole sermon next Sunday will be an application of today's sermon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have spoken to us by your Son Jesus, and we have heard it today, that he is the creator and owner and sustainer of all things. He is the king of the universe, and that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing and became obedient and died on the cross for us. We have heard it, and we have no excuse, and we have no reason not to pay more careful attention to what we have heard. But God, there's one more thing that we plead, that you who promised, that you who began the good work in us will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, that you will just do it. Give us sufficient courage and power that we may love Jesus and have passion for Jesus, to behold him, to belong to him, and to be sent for him until we go to see him. In the name of Jesus, amen.